Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said there's something to be said for the egotist, and he's usually saying it. We appreciate this opportunity of being with you today, and we want to welcome you to our Bible Meditations program. We appreciate our listeners. We're always glad to have the opportunity of talking to you about the Word of God. The last several times that I've been speaking on this particular program, I've been talking to you about what the Bible says about certain things. We noted, first of all, what does the Bible say about itself? And we pointed out that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We also noted what the Bible says in regard to the subject of sin. Obviously, sin is present in the lives of all of us. What does the Bible say we need to do about that sin, and what will sin do in regard to our lives? The Bible teaches that sin separates us from our God. Therefore, we need to get it out of our lives, and we need to do what is right before God. Well, in our study this week, we'd like to talk to you about what the Bible says in regard to the church. Now, I hear a lot of things like this about the church. Well, the church is not important. You really don't need the church to go to heaven. And if you want to be a member of the church, that's all right. But you don't need to be. This is simply an afterthought that God thought up in order to fill in a gap when he had given a promise and then didn't fulfill that promise with the coming of the kingdom. Well, all of these doctrines have the idea of putting the church somewhere in the background and saying that it is an afterthought. Is that what the Bible teaches about the church? Well, I believe that as we study the Word of God, we'll understand what the Bible says about it, and we'll be appreciative of the importance of the church Jesus said he was going to build. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, the Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In other words, he's simply asking, what is the appraisal men have made of me and of my life? Well, the question comes back, what do men say? But the answer they gave was, you're a good man. You're Jeremiah. You're one of the prophets. You're one who has come from God. But really, that's as far as it goes. However, Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them this question, "Whom do you say that I am?" Well, of course, the apostles had been with the Lord. They knew of his activities. They knew the kind of man that he was. And instead of them saying, "He's Jeremiah, he's John the Baptist, or one of the prophets," they simply said, "He's the Christ, the Son of God." Now, let me point something out just here that I want you to think about. Was Jeremiah a good man? No question about it. Was John the Baptist a great prophet of God? The answer is yes. Then is it right to say Jesus is like Jeremiah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets? Well, that isn't a sufficient answer. It takes more than that, and the answer lies in the fact that Jeremiah was not the Son of God. John the Baptist was not the Son of God in that exclusive way that the Bible refers to him. He rather was a servant of the Lord, but Jesus is different in that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it becomes quite obvious from the verses that we're looking at that Jesus is going to build the church on something that he terms a rock. Well, now, what is the rock foundation upon which he's going to build his church? The Lord said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." What is that rock? Well, I look at the writing of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 11, and I hear Paul saying this, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Now remember, the apostles have just said, "You're the Christ." Paul writes to the church at Corinth and tells them there isn't any other foundation. The only foundation upon which the church can be built is the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some have misinterpreted the passage we're looking at by saying that the Apostle Peter became the rock upon which the church was founded. However, my friends, it would not take very much consideration of the Word of God for us to be aware of the fact that Peter was a sinful man just like others are, and the church was not founded on someone who is just another man, but rather was founded on one who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when Paul told the church at Corinth that the only foundation for the church is Jesus Christ, that's what the Bible says about the subject of the church along that line. Notice in verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "You're Peter, and upon this rock," that is the fact that I'm the Son of God, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Notice the statement, "I will build." That indicates that it had not yet come, doesn't it? Sometimes people say the church came during the personal ministry of John the Baptist, and that the church already existed while John was still alive. However, the Lord, two chapters in your Bible after the beheading of John the Baptist, and approximately 18 months in time, the Lord is still saying, "I will build my church." So the church could not have come during the personal ministry of John the Baptist. It was after that that the church came into existence. But notice also, and we'll look about this a little later in our study, but notice Jesus did not say, "Upon this rock I will build my churches, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them." He used singular terminology, and that's significant. You and I should understand that the church is indeed singular in nature, and the Lord did not promise to build many different religious denominations. We have many of them in the world today, but what does the Bible say about the church? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." It also indicates the fact that the church is not a product of the work of man, but rather belongs to the Lord. The Lord is the builder of it, and it's very important that we understand that it must be carried on according to His will. The psalmist David made this observation, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Psalms 127 and verse 1. That just simply means that the Lord is the builder of the house. The church was built by Jesus. It is not a product of man and did not come into existence as a result of the work of man. Well, we say all of that to impress this. The passage says that the Lord is going to build His church. It is going to be founded upon Him. It is singular in nature, and even death would not prevent Him from building it. The gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. Though Satan would do all that he could to thwart the work Jesus had in mind, Jesus just simply gave assurance unto his disciples that he would carry out what he had promised. Sometimes people get the idea that God doesn't carry out the promises that he gives. However, it's quite obvious from this particular passage that God did keep his promise and that the church was in existence as he planned. Well, we'll pick up at this point tomorrow, the Lord willing. Remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.